As you're being seated, let me say happy anniversary to you. That's good. Some of you are as excited about that as when you tell your spouse happy anniversary. Let's try it again. Happy anniversary. Yeah. There you go. If you're our guest today, you've come on a great Sunday. We're celebrating, it's kind of a weird deal, but it's 1 year in our building, our facility. A year ago today, or this Sunday, we met for the first time, kind of a grand opening in our facility, but we've been meeting for 5 years. 4 years before that, we met at Smith Middle School, and so this is a big day for us. We've seen God do some amazing things, and we get to recount some of those things. I'm glad that you've chosen to be here, and you have joined us. So lots of fun things. There's a coffee truck when you came up on the front walk, and some of you probably got Krispy Kreme donuts, maybe the comatose sugar has worn off before now, but the end of the up until now. And then when you came in, the balloons. What about the balloons on the balloon wall? Was that cool or what? Yeah. Was it cool? Hello. Let's do it one more time. Was that cool? Yeah. There you go. Great. Well, Dana Haddad, my assistant, she came up with that and did that. It was a great, great, she and Joe Bach, our facilities guy, they were on a lift and doing all kinds of stuff. It just looked really, really amazing. So glad. So I love balloons, and I've been going through some old pictures, a lot of old stuff, memoirs and remembrances and things like that, because we just moved recently. And so balloons kind of got in my mind because I found this picture of me when I was at college, and I sold balloons at Disney World. And so it was one of my first vocations before ministry, and it took a lot of expertise, because at Disney World, everything has to be, you know, Disney perfect. So the ears had to be just the right size. It couldn't be a cone on the bottom or a light bulb on the bottom. So that is, I weigh about 100 pounds, I think. So 48 years ago, no, that was when I was five. That was when I was a college student. So it was a great, great job, but I do love balloons. But we were going through a bunch of stuff and found lots of fun stuff and old stuff. We've purged and gotten rid of a bunch of junk, but it's amazing to see the stuff that we saved and the stuff that you come across. Last night, I showed Harrison, he's a student at Baylor, and so I showed him the note that my dad wrote for me. It was for the first fall that I went to Baylor in 1983, the fall of 83, and tuition was $438. Things have changed, folks. $438. That's like a grocery bill now for a month. So crazy. But I also found, which was even more fun, I found my kindergarten picture, my class picture from my kindergarten year, and I wanted to show it to you so you could see that I was young once. And so this is me, and I'll let you try to figure out. I'll show you which one is me in just a second. That's Father Mickey on the left, and my teacher, Miss Frazier, with the cat eye glasses. It was the late 60s, and so she was very fashionable then. And at St. David's Episcopal Day School is where it was. And so it was a great experience. And so let me show you which one's me and see if you got it right. Right there. So how about that? My kids have only known me. All three of my boys have only known me and remember me with gray hair. How about that? So it's good to know that I was, you know, before the earth cooled, that I was a child as well. So really, really fun. The fun thing is, even funner than the picture, is I found my progress report at the end of the year, and so I wanted to share some things. It's on mimeograph paper, you know, where the teachers used to go chong, 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 and it's blue, and it smells, you know, all the students would always smell it, because I don't know why we did that, but it was the 60s, I guess. But anyway, progress report. I want to share a couple of these things with you. Disposition, characteristically cheerful, pleased, and good-natured. That starts out good. Affection, demonstrates and solicits affection frequently, but not out of proportion to circumstances. Energy level, prefers vigorous to passive play and has a high energy output, but in routine activities, not particularly vigorous. Conformity, conformity is not unusual in any way. He may, for example, ignore expected standards if no penalty is likely to ensue, which cracks me up because I consider myself a rule follower, and so I know I now was a rebel as a five-year-old. Emotion, this one is strong. Is very easily affected emotionally, is highly responsive in an emotional way, slight unexpected difficulties or successes, little casual reproach, and relatively mild stimulating situations readily produce emotion. Basically, that's a lot of words she used to say. This kid's emotional. Friendliness, shows an open friendliness to everyone, quick to make friends, quick to make friendly approaches, does more than meet the other child halfway. leadership usually attempts to dominate, but may play a submissive role if an elder child or adult is directing the game. competition is strongly stimulated by competition, increases his effort, and tries harder. Social, no shy or apprehensive behavior in response to other children or adults, and then group activity, prefers group play to individual play, but has certain individualistic preferences. And then under comments, there's nothing. I guess there was enough written in her report. So amazing. And as I read that, this is what I thought. Some things don't change. As much as we think that we're different now than when we started, as how God wired us and how he created us and that somehow we've changed and all that, the thing is when we come to know him, he only baptizes those, if you will, and he uses those and fans those into flame to become who he wants us to be. My DNA, the core of who I am, the way God created me in those categories really haven't changed. I can look at those things and even see how they've developed even more, maybe in the last year, if I'm really honest. It's just been developed. Today's a huge day of celebration. It's really fun day. I hope you've looked forward to it. Some of you had no idea that it was a celebration day, but I'm telling you, it is. It's a great day. I'm gonna share the word in just a few minutes. We're gonna open the passage together, but it feels a little different today. It's gonna feel a little infomercialish, if you will, and there's a lot of words, and I'm gonna talk really fast, so you'll have to track with me so we can get out by two. Okay. It'll be a great morning. Great afternoon, too. We'll have donuts for lunch as well. We're going to open God's Word. We're going to look back. We're going to remember. We're going to celebrate so many things that the Lord has done. We're going to look at who we are, really importantly, and what the Lord has done. And then we're going to look to the vision of who we are and where we're going and some things I think the Lord has for us in the future. So it's really, really going to be a fun time. The first service was great. We had a great celebration moment. I'll tell you about that as we conclude, and we'll celebrate all as a body at one time. So as I was looking forward to today about what I wanted to share and just praying through the passage that God would have me share, I kept coming back to one passage, and I actually tried to move away from it because I used it recently with some leaders. But I think it is the most apropos and the most concise and the most it's the best verse for our time together as we celebrate a year anniversary. And it's found in Philippians. It's Philippians 1:1-5. And I'm going to read it to you. It'll be on the screens, and actually 1-6. And then we're going to look at three segments real quickly, and then I'm going to give you a lot of backfill, if you will. And it'll all make sense in a second. So verse 1 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul is writing with Timothy, and he's writing to the church at Philippi, who is very, very fond of and has a great passion for them. And he says, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, remembering always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who began or started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Until the day of Christ Jesus. We're gonna celebrate some things today. As Cyprus, we're going to celebrate the first year in the building and just an awareness again, kind of that intro, and we're going to bring it back at the end and kind of weave the whole thing that some things haven't changed. As we met 5 years ago, what God started, he's fanned in a flame and to develop and grow us and to be used for his glory. And so as we look at this passage, I want to give you three quick lenses, if you will, that we can put on and we can read this passage to kind of help us understand and give us kind of a framework for today as we go forward. So here's the first lens. Thanksgiving and remembrance go hand in hand. Thanksgiving and remembrance go hand in hand. Paul writes in verse 3, he says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. Folks at Cyprus, Cyprus Church, Cyprus Campus, Cyprus, whatever you call it, I love Cyprus. And I love you. And there's literally no greater joy that I have than serving you and serving alongside of you. I should not and would not and could not imagine doing what I do with anywhere else, with any other group of people. I absolutely love you and love our community and love what God is doing here. And as I look back this past year, in the 5 years, the overwhelming feeling I have is gratitude. Not every day is great. Not every interchange or exchange is positive. But the overwhelming feeling I have for you and for what God has done and allowing me to be a part of it is gratitude. Charles John Ellicott, he's the Bishop of Gloucester and Bristol, he says this, "It's a lovely thing when remembrance and gratitude are bound together." Excuse me. "It's a lovely thing when remembrance and gratitude are bound together." Last week, as Pastor Greg shared that he was going away for a sabbatical for 4 weeks, and he asked us to pray as a community and as a body, and he asked us to pray for emotional kind of rest for him. Been a wild year with Harvey in particular. Spiritually, of course, as always, you're on. Physically, he's on. Emotionally, he prayed that. And he made this comment. He said, more than physically, because I haven't lifted a heavy box lately, is what he said. And to be honest, I haven't lifted a heavy box lately either, but I lifted boxes, heavy boxes with you for 4 years before we moved in this building. And I had the joy of being spent in every way, spiritual, emotional, and physical, for those 4 years. And this is what I say, God, don't give me rest from it. God, bring it back. That emotion and that exhaustion on a Sunday, being physically and spiritually and emotionally exhausted, it is awesome. And I want you to know, you are exhausting to me in a great way. Because when I go home on Sunday, I am spent. My voice is gone. My whole extroverted side, which is about 90% of me, has turned totally introvert. I'm physically exhausted, but it has been the most incredible morning of my life each Sunday from being with you. God, expend me emotionally and physically and spiritually and exhaust me with these people. When I think back on my last year, my first thought is not of Harvey or the snow day. It's of you. It's of doing ministry alongside of you, of shepherding you, of journeying with you, of walking with you. And because of that, every remembrance of you is the language that Paul uses, and I echo it today. Every remembrance of you, I thank God. The second lens that I want to look at is that partnerships produce joy and prayer. Partnerships produce joy and prayer. In verses 4 and the first part of 5, he says, "I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." There's two aspects of partnering really in this passage. One of them is very obvious, and it's the one I think we think of probably. It's the partnering that Paul has with the church at Philippi to share or to further the gospel. I thank the Lord today in my remembrance of you and our partnership, the partnership that you and I and our church has to further the gospel in Cypress, Texas, and really beyond all over the world. I'm grateful for that, and it produces joy, that partnership does, and produces prayer. The other partnership that he's talking about is a partnership that comes as Christian brothers and sisters. There's a relationship we have as Christian brothers and sisters that goes deeper than just if we know each other or we're acquaintances or we do life together. It's that bond that we have when our belief and our core belief and our salvation comes through Jesus Christ. It's the most meaningful and the best relationship that revolves around Christ. That's the best kind of relationships that we can have. They're some of God's most precious gifts to his children. And so what do we partner to do, if you will? These are some things. I'm going to give you a lot of stats coming up, but just kind of moving in that direction. This is what we partner to do as we meet together. We disciple people. We teach people. We love on people. We pray with people. We pray for people. We walk with people. We encourage people. We give to people. We admonish people, all for the sake of the gospel. That's one of the reasons we do it, as Paul says. To further the gospel of Christ, we do those things, and that's what we partner to do. And then we get to do it with you. I get to do it with you. Some of the most godly, wonderful, smart, wise, intelligent, beautiful, quirkiest people in the world. And what an honor and a blessing it is to do that. Some of the results of this partnership over the last year of these two partnerships. Arlene is a lady that came to our work in our church with our children on Sunday morning. Arlene and then a young man, Terrell, who's our security guard. He came early on. He would guard the property before there was anything on the property. I would show up to the building and he would ask me who I was, and he needed my driver's license number every time. I was like, "Terrell, we've been doing this a year. I'm the pastor. It's okay if I'm here." Both of them came here to work, and both of them got saved the last year. amazing work that God has done is he's called people to him. He brings us to certain places for certain reasons that we think, and then he acts on our behalf and brings us into relationship with him. We baptized Arlene and Terrell right here in the baptistry in the last year, which was just amazing. Four-year-old Catherine Wynn, sitting right down here, her parents memorized the Lord's Prayer as part of Life Bible Study just not long ago. I have a video that was sent to me, and she's at home saying the Lord's Prayer, quoting it, and she's four. Partnering with our children and teaching them God's Word. That's what we partner to do. What a blessing and a privilege we get to do. People being ministered to through cancer and other sicknesses. I had the opportunity after the service today to pray for a young lady who's going to have surgery on Tuesday for cancer, walking through that with her and her family. Matt, a young man, a young married in our church, he's here today. You might see him. He usually wears a beanie on Sunday morning. That's not because he's cold necessarily. He is cold, but he's cold because he's walking through cancer treatment, brain cancer. We anointed him with oil. We came before him. We pray for him. About 3 weeks ago, he sat over here and his hands lifted high in worship on a Sunday morning. We get to partner with people like that and walk through life. We get to give meals to couples who are not yet a part of a small group because they had new babies, and we get to introduce them into relationship and community. Our kids this last year, they raised $10,000 to build a water well in Sudan. That's amazing, folks. That's outside of ourselves. Our college kids come here and they find not just a place for community, which they're looking for, but they have found salvation, some of them, a relationship with Christ. Walking through the loss of a job or a spouse or a dream in the last 5 years, but the last 4 years, those are difficult and hard days, but we're allowed the privilege and we're grateful for the privilege to do that with one another. And then we are a place where the unchurched become churched and the de-churched can find a place of being fitting in and finding a welcome hand of extended to them saying, we're glad you're here. Folks, that's the results of the partnership in just a few of this last year that I want to put before you and ask the Lord and praise the Lord for using us in those things. Those things bring great joy. But he says partnerships produce joy and they produce prayer. So as we walk through life together, we get to pray for one another. And really, prayer is for each other, with each other, on behalf of each other, because of each other. That's probably the most important of those things is prayer. And we have the privilege of doing that with each other. The third lens that I believe that Paul writes about here is that what God begins, he finishes. And that's where I want to spend the rest of our time this morning. What God begins, he finishes. In verse 5b, he says, because of your partnership in this gospel from the day until now, he says, because of that, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He'll carry it on to the day of completion. Just like God built a framework for my life from birth as a five-year-old that you saw that. Things haven't really changed a whole lot at the core of who I am. Hopefully they've matured and they developed and God's used them for his glory. The same thing is for the church. 170 something years ago when those guys set up tents on the bayous downtown to start First Baptist Church, hopefully they were probably thinking, we hope we make it till next Sunday, but they were thinking long beyond themselves. The same thing is true for us today. We have a framework for Houston's First Baptist and for Cypress that we use, and it's before you right here. It's called Gather Our Hearts, Grow Our Souls, and Give Our Lives. And we do that out of the framework because we are a relevant biblical community. So I want to unpack a little bit of that about what we've seen God do in these areas, kind of our report card, if you will, progress report, as I shared mine from when I was five, and see how God has used us. So gather our hearts is the first one. God, we believe that God has a place for us as a corporate body and as a church and as individuals to have a place of regularly gathering our hearts. Here's some stats. Since we opened our doors, over 4,000 people have walked through the doors of Houston's First Baptist at Cypress and let us know that they've been here. That's the key. They filled out something that says, come and get me, or I'm okay if you contact me. And so over 4,000 people have done that. Probably another 2,000 have done that, and we have no idea who they were or who they are. And they come every Sunday, and they just don't let us know that they're here. But 4,000 plus, that's amazing. That's amazing. All in, that's a number that we count every Sunday. It's a number that every body from a baby to an adult that we can track is here on a Sunday. We average just over 1,000 every Sunday that walk in our doors. So you might come just to this service and go, there's about 400 people here. There's about 1,000 on our campus all Sunday morning. And people typically attend every third week. So they'll visit, I mean, they'll come to church and there'll be another week until they come again. And so that's kind of the 21st century attendance pattern, if you will. And so if you put all that together, there's many more people that we average, even on a Sunday morning, that again, we're not necessarily aware of. That spikes up to 1,300 sometimes, and that goes down to like 900 on sometimes. But on an average, there's over 1,000 people here on Sunday mornings, which is amazing. Our worship services, when we started, were real lopsided because when we were at the school, all the youth went to 1 hour. And so when we moved into the building, we went through some growing pains and some philosophy explanations, and y'all bought in great. And so middle school is 1 hour and high school is 1 hour, and you've embraced that. But because of that, we've been able to balance our services, which is great. So virtually, both services are equal in size, which gives us a lot of health and a lot of area for growth as a worshiping body in this room, which is great. Last year, this is really exciting. 77 people joined our church in the last year by baptism. That means they either made a profession of Christ, or they came to Christ, or they're taking the next step to join to be baptized. 36 of those have been baptized. 41 are still in the process of getting baptized. So if you're one of those 41 people, let today be a day of stepping out and saying, hey, you know what? I'm moving toward the future, and I want to be baptized. Get me baptized. We would love that. It's a great profession and a great explanation and a great confirmation if you're joining into what God's doing, and then a personal walk in your relationship with Him. But 77 people have joined through baptism this year. And then just under 1,000 were here for Christmas Eve and Easter as well. And God's going to continue to grow that number as our community grows, and we're excited about that. So people have gathered their hearts over the last year in this building, and we're so excited about that. We've seen that. Also, growing our souls. Axiom Strategies, it's a political strategy consulting company. It's owned and founded by a man that goes to the Loop. He's a member there at the Loop, and it's called Axiom. And so he has done some research for our church. And one of the things that he shared with the staff recently is how do people view, and what are the things that come to mind as characteristic of Houston's First Baptist? And so I don't know the sampling exactly, but I think you'll be encouraged. And this is kind of a visual that they gave us of what it is. When people think of Houston's First Baptist, this is what comes to mind: the Bible, community, people, our pastor. You study the word, missions, you're service-based, it's authentic, Jesus is right there, which is awesome, go, friendly, family, taught, welcome, all those things. And so how incredible is it that one of our DNA, one of the things that God put in our church from the very beginning that we stand beside still today, that the Bible is God's living word, it is inspired divinely, it is inerrant, that's what we're known for. I'm thankful for that, and that's something to celebrate. As we move forward in growing our souls, Life Bible Study, we average about 750 each Sunday. People are in Bible study in small groups. If you're not in that, I encourage you to do that. That's a great on-ramp to ministry and to community in our church and our setting and who we are. And for those people who say that Sunday school or Bible study on Sunday morning is dead, they haven't been to First Baptist. That's what I would submit to you. 750 people out of 1,000 that are here every Sunday are in Bible study. That's pretty amazing, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you for growing your souls through that. As we moved into the building, we expanded lots of different ministries. Our Midlink ministry on Wednesday night used to really just be about kids at our ministry center. If you remember that in your distant memory, the ministry center over on 290 at Telge, which was such a blessing. What a sweet place that was. We continue on with Mission Friends and Blast and Hub. And After Hours, we added that for college students this year. Also, we have a Grow at Home that meets as far as discipleship, which we help parents become the primary and grow them as the primary disciples of their children. We've expanded with counseling here. We have a counseling center at our campus, and I heard just this week we're adding our third counselor, which is great. The demand is there, and people are stepping into seeing what God's word and walking through counseling, biblical counseling, looks like. We also started grief share and divorce care for people going through those devastating times of loss, being able to come around them and love them and walk through those experiences. Men's and women's ministry continue to grow. We see people coming for the first time. Those are intro points, not just deeper for life points, but first time. On Tuesday mornings, we have a group of men meet here at 6:30 every morning. We have groups of men that meet all over. We have another group of men that meet at the barbecue place over at County Line over there, Harris County. And I'll tell you about more about that in just a minute at the end. It's something God's doing great there. And then women's ministry. We had, 130, 140 women here last Tuesday. Morning and evening for a study that they're doing this summer, a three-week study, which is just great. So we continue to grow our souls, and we want you to step into opportunities for discipleship and to grow your souls. The last thing is to give our lives in part of who we are. And this is quite lengthy, so hang with me. I'm going to talk really fast, and I'm going to give you some highlights. Mission trips this past year, we sent people to Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Spain, Cambodia, Montana, Russia, Zambia. We actually have someone that's leaving tonight to go to Zambia, Janet Fosdick. We're going to pray for her at the end of the service. And New York City. People have gone all over. Rush Week, we'll have students go, high school and middle school students who will go to Panama City next month in July. And they will they'll just scatter all over that city and make a difference for Christ in evangelism teams and service teams and those kind of things. H18, which is Houston 18, that's where we have lots of different ministry sites and points all over the city. This is something we do with all of our campuses. It was started in like 1998 and continues to grow and morph and change and develop. We started with two tracks 5 years ago. This year, we will have five tracks, and so that's exciting. We want you to be a part of H18, is what we call it. Backyard Kids Club is one of those tracks as well, as we've seen people go into their neighborhoods, meet their neighbors, and then put on a little vacation Bible school and seeing parents come to Christ too, not just children, but also to build community in their neighborhoods, which is a wonderful thing. We have ministry partners that we support through money and through people and equipment and prayers, those kind of things. The first one is CareNet Pregnancy Center. They're located, they opened up just a couple of years ago over off of Queenston and Barker Cypress right there. It's a great facility, and the Lord led us, and you worked through us. We gave a $40,000 ultrasound machine a couple of years ago. Remember that? And so now we just heard that they've been able to hire a full-time person to be there every day, so when a young woman comes in, she can have an ultrasound right there. They don't have to wait to make an appointment until a technician can come in, which is great. We continue to support them in lots of different ways. We have women who have been trained and volunteered to meet and counsel with women as they come in, which is a great thing. PsyHope, we participate in their backpack program, also through their resale and helping them in the schools. Helping Hands Homeless Ministry. If you don't know, we have homeless people, and we have a lot of them in the Cypress area. They don't all live under bridges. A lot of them live in their cars or hotels, so you're homeless if you don't have a physical address. And so we have kids literally in every school of every age who are considered homeless. And so Helping Hands is one of those ministries we support. We collect things, we help assemble things, we help go out and give things to the homeless in our area. Redeemed Ministry for Human Trafficking. There's different ways we support them. They're a little bit harder with what they would do, but one of the ways we do is we sell their coasters and some things that they make, the ladies make when they're pulled out of trafficking. They're taught a skill, and so we give them. They sell them in our corner books, and so when you buy those, you're supporting that ministry. And so it's a real practical thing you can do. Sports Quest, which we support in a lot of ways. It's a Christian sports ministry. Jim and Debbie Spence, they're actually members of our church, and they are the founders and the leaders of that. They do soccer camps all throughout the year and minister to kids through that. We are sponsoring a camp this summer. We've sponsored one already before. They use a lot of our space for different things. This past week, they had a camp across town, and Erin Ruddle, who's our director of children preschool ministry, she went actually, and she did follow-up. They had 80 kids, 25 or 26 accepted Christ just this week through that ministry. It's huge. It's a great, great thing that we get to be a part of. New Life Adoption Ministry, this one's pretty special, and it's really pretty special today. So we adopted them just about a year and a half ago, and they're located off of 249, over off of Cypress, North Houston, I think. And it's very biblical. They commit to walk with a woman and a family when they come in for adoption, and they facilitate that. It's for life. It's not a we connect you. It's not a match.com and we're done. It is an ongoing ministry. We have people in our church that are on their board, but we give to them. They have hosted an adoptive family informative meeting here before, but this is really exciting. So just this past Friday, the Haddads, Dana Haddad and Yoshi, she's my assistant, they adopted through New Life baby Zach a year ago. And this past Friday, 2 days ago, they went to court and he became an official Haddad. We got to be a part of that by what we give, because they received a grant from our church to help them adopt a child. So you get to be a part of these things, which is unbelievable. A legacy and a life that'll be changed forever. You get to be a part of it. Mansions at Hastings Green, that's an affordable housing complex over off of Highway 6. We've been involved with them from literally day one since we came out here, which is exciting. We continue things there with H18. We do a big, huge Christmas thing with them. Backpacks we supply. Women's Bible study goes on there pretty regularly, weekly, I think. And then we also help people there that need help financially with rent and bills and those kind of things that aren't even associated with our church. But they live in that community, and we want to support that community. And then Boys and Girls Country is a wonderful, wonderful one. We support through their festival. We do an H18 site. Our college students will be there this summer to host an H18 site there. And actually, we have a couple of house parents who have joined our church. And so all the boys that live in their house actually come to our church. And we are so glad that those guys are here and part of our body of Christ as well. So those are like our eight official strategic partners, and you'll hear about them pretty regularly. But let me tell you some things that maybe you might not hear about. We are partners with schools, with the public schools. We adopted Smith when we launched, and we adopted them for several years. This past year, we adopted Wells Elementary, just next to Bridgeland High School. We adopted Bridgeland High School as well. Most people don't adopt high schools. We thought it would be bad stewardship to have a brand new high school that we share parking with and not have ongoing ministry and support there. So we adopted them, and God in his crazy ways of how he does things, their building wasn't permitted. It was permitted a few days late. So if you remember, they had their orientation here. This room has confetti now, but that night it had a band and a drum line and the cheerleaders and the drill team, and every parent and student that was coming to Bridgeland High School had to be on our property that night. And Abby Roberts, one of our students, got to pray in the name of Jesus in front of her whole high school and their parents. That's pretty strategic, we feel, that God has allowed us to do. They had their band camp here this past week on Friday. We reach out to those schools, their faculty, four times a year, and just encourage them. The first day of school, the principal at Bridgeland, this is not a partnership, I don't know what is, called us and said, hey, we would be willing to pray with your body, church body, if y'all want to come meet us after church the Sunday before the school starts, and I'll invite the faculty and we'll pray together. And many of you did, and many of them did, and it was really, really cool. God is up to something, I believe, and we want to press into that. We also partner with FCA and Young Life in our community, and Cy Ranch and at Bridgeland. Also in middle schools, we do a lot of FCA stuff as well at Salyards and Splaine and at Anthony and different schools around as well. Cy Springs, we've been with them historically at FCA. And then we sponsored the Cy Fair Fun Run. I don't know how many of y'all participated in that. I didn't. But hey, if you gave, you participated, which is a great thing. Which is fun. So not just public school, homeschool. We love our homeschoolers, and we have a strong constituency of our church body that homeschool, and we're behind that. We were able to help them host the Classical Conversations meeting they had. We're going to do that again, and we look for ways to partner with them. And then private schools as well, the Connection School, which is down by the railroad tracks. We've got students there, and we help them financially to do some remodeling and some repairs of their buildings, and we're doing that even presently. And so we want to partner with our schools. We don't want everything to be about coming to this building. That's not what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating what God has done because of the people that come to this building and worship him and are part of the church here. Collegiate ministries, we are looking constantly and trying to reach out to Lone Star. Obviously, it's right here, 10,000 students on the campus there, and we want to have an impact in there at that school. It's very diverse. Our community is very diverse, and we feel like we can make, God can use some great ways to help us in that situation. So you can pray about that. Vertical Ministries, it's a college ministry on the Baylor campus. We support them financially as well. Crew, we've got some people who are, which is Campus Crusade. Campus Crusade for Christ used to be. We support some of their missionaries across the globe, actually. And we want to look to how to partner with them in the city as well. Bridgeland community itself, they've come to us several times and said, can we meet in your building with our 50 builders when we grand open a new area and let them see the church and your location? And we count that as a great privilege to have 50 builders, and they use us as a selling point that there's this awesome Baptist church over here, and to see us as a resource is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So we look forward to continue on those. As far as other missionary opportunities and agencies, In-Step Ministries, we give and support them. They're kind of all over the globe. Crossroads Global Initiative with Ian and Katie Brew. His Grace Foundation, which is a ministry that Mike Petrie is involved in here from our campus, down at the Bone Marrow Transplant Unit down at Texas Children. It's an amazing thing how we can give to them, not just financially, but we want to increase volunteers and people understanding what goes on down there and way to serve. Orphan Ministry. We believe in that. Our Legacy 685, we support that. You support that if you're part of it. But we support a Home of Grace in Cambodia, and then Family Legacy in Zambia, two orphan ministries. If you go on a mission trip as an individual and you'll come to us and say, hey, I'm going on a mission trip, we will help get you there. We will help fund you to get there. And so many of you, we've helped on your mission funding as well. Converge Ministries, which is a ministry to the Wolof people in Senegal. There's a couple, the Outlaws, that's not what they are, that's their name, and they're associated with our church, but they do ministry in Honduras, and they've started a coffee roasting company. That's their inroad. That's the business they've created to help support themselves so they can do ministry, evangelical ministry there in Honduras, and which is pretty amazing. And then Wycliffe Bible Translators as well, we give to that as well. So you can see, we partner with a bunch of people. I tell you those things not because look at what we did, but most of us in this room, you've heard those 8 partnerships. If you've been here with any kind of regularity, we talk about them. But when you give to all of that. You have been a part of all of that, which is amazing. And that's all the stuff that goes out. Let me talk about a little bit about just volunteers here in our setting. If you remember Harvey, remember that came last year? We had our big grand opening day. We had, actually, one huge grand opening, but a big grand opening day. And then we had Midlink, and then the next weekend was Harvey. But we were able to send truckloads of supplies out. You gave, you assembled, you volunteered to get trucks coming and going. We had muck out teams. We still have teams actually that go out and help people that are still working in that. You provided meals. We hosted Hope City. We allowed them to use our facility 2 times because their facility, the school they were meeting in Katy was flooded, and so they met here, which is a great opportunity for us to partner. Men Serve, many of you have got t-shirts on today. That's our ministry for our widows, to reach out to them and minister to them and help them with repairs on their house and to love on them. Life Bible Study, we have hundreds of people serve regularly. It might be weekly, it might be once every 6 weeks and everything in between. You serve faithfully with our children and our teenagers and our adults through Life Bible Study. Those are not trained people. I mean, we give them some training. They're not paid people, but volunteer every week and every with regularity, which is great. And then there's 5 ministry teams that are really, really important, and they have been meeting for five years, week after week, serving. And many of these you serve on. Parking, the guys in the orange shirt, they help us get here. The greeters and the welcome team in the blue shirt that says welcome. They're always smiling and always ready to help you. The ushers who help you get seated when you come in and you need to find a seat and receive our offering. Our Stephen ministry, who comes alongside people who don't necessarily need long-term counseling, but they do need someone to walk beside them, maybe in a time of loss or a struggle, but just a friend. That's a ministry we have called Stephen ministry. And then maybe the most importantly, ministry team that's ongoing is our prayer team. Our prayer team is vital, and I think it's vital and it's responsible really for everything that the Lord has done, is because we have a team of people who cry out and meet regularly in small groups, in groups, by themselves on our behalf, for God to act and to do things on our behalf. The last way I want to share with you is through generosity, and this is we have a great opportunity for ongoing impact. When you give to the Great Commission budget, you give, this is what happens. You support trips, you support partners, you support people, you support ongoing ministries, all those things that I just shared. Every dime that you give gives that. A couple of Sundays ago, I had this great opportunity. It was after the service, and this little boy, cute little boy, came up to me. Anytime somebody wants to talk to me, I'll talk to him. It's part of my progress report that y'all saw. But he handed me 7 pennies, just like this, in a stack. And he said, Pastor Jason, He said, I want to give these to the church because I want to have the air conditioning on. Is that hilarious? I was like, I'll take it. We need air conditioning. It's summertime. So he gave me a piece. I said, you know what? I will put these in the offering, and I'll do that because you give this, that's great. And I said, you know what else is even better than that? Because you give your seven pennies, it's not just air conditioning. We get to tell people about Jesus. And so he scattered off, and I was talking to somebody else. He came back up and tapped me, and he came back with one more penny. He found another one. He said, I found one more. He got it. That morning, he in Life Bible Study, the lesson was on giving and what God does is he multiplies the things that we give to him, and he uses it because we want people to know that Jesus loves them and wants a relationship with them. And this little guy got it. Seven pennies. Since we've been meeting in this building just a year, we've had 150 new givers on board for the first time, which is huge. So thankful for that. People who get the vision say, you know what, I'm going to be a part of what's going on. 150 new givers. If you remember our World Mission Offering back in February, one Sunday, all of our campuses, everything we gave that day was going to missions. $1.8 million is what we gave to foreign missionaries around the world. You got to be a part of that, and that's a great thing. Over a year ago, we gave on another day. We raised money. We're trying to raise $4 million for a city block downtown, if you remember that, for our downtown campus. They've been meeting in the bottom of an office building in a basement for about 6 years, and so that day, it was awesome. Everybody gave over and above, and then on the 20th of last month, on May 20th, they moved into their newly renovated building facility that is just as incredible as what we sit in today, and you were a part of that. Thank you for doing that. So I just want to say, can we applaud the Lord for all these things that I've just shared so quickly? Thank you, Lord. So how could this have ever have happened, this ministry and this impact and this staff? When there's a thing about multi-site that is a little different than other churches. Most churches you start up and it's really strong and they struggle for a long time and they struggle and they finally move into a smaller building and then they struggle with staff. And so it's a hard road. And I'm telling you, I have some friends out here in Cyprus that's the road that God has led them on. And we pray for them regularly and we actually give to some of those churches as well. But through multi-site, it's a different deal. Growth is like dog years because of the resources that are available and how God uses those. And so for us to be sitting in a facility like this doesn't happen when you've been meeting for 5 years. But it's because people have given. And so as we look forward, and because of that, it brings complexity at a faster rate too. There's higher expectations of what should be happening. There's more pressure on staff. There's this expectation of expanded ministries that in years and numbers, it seems like it should happen. But we're playing catch up constantly. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about moving forward. Because Paul says this. He says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And I'm sure of this, that God has an amazing plan for us out here in Cyprus. Let me share with you just a couple of more stats, and then I'll get us to conclude here. But Bridgeland, they expect to have 20,000 single-family homes when they're built out. 20,000, y'all, that's a small town. It's bigger than a small town. 20,000. Construction began in 2006. It's expected to end with residential and commercial construction between 2035 and 2040. So they're not just planning for today. They're looking long range, if you will. Ellison, which opened up just about a year ago across the freeway, we have some families that live over there. It's a Newland community. It's a wonderful place. They have 3,000. They're expected completion in 2026 or 2028. Town Lake has 3,000 homes. They broke ground in 2006. They're going to be completed in 2022. Mira Mesa, that didn't exist 2 years ago, they broke ground in 2016. And who knows how much they develop, and they continue opening new sections constantly. Cypress Creek Lakes opened in 2004, and they have 2,100 homes. That's just within a few miles radius, folks, of what God has not just brought people here, but in the future. When I think about growing and I can't think about moving forward, I've got to do what Bridgeland has done. I keep thinking, you know what? Their biggest concern is not today or next week. They're thinking long term. What those people did 175 years ago when they started Houston's First Baptist was not for that week or that year even. It probably was to just survive. But in their mind, somewhere, those people made a commitment and understood what they were about to look forward to 2018 and think, you know what, out in Cyprus, there's going to be this incredible community called Cyprus, and we want to put a church there. They probably didn't think that specifically, but I guarantee their heart was that, and that's our heart as well. We've got to keep plotting. We've got to keep going, because what we're doing and what we're about is really not about us today. It's about when we're all long gone, when this building has become a legacy because it's been full of a people who have desired to impact the community as it's grown and changed over years and years and years and desires to do that. It's kind of like this. I like to think of it as a kind of moving forward as a three-legged stool, if you will. So gather our hearts. Gather is our first. It's this first leg. And gathering, what that is that's a large group gathering, and that's why we call it gather our hearts. We gather for worship, and that's what you're here today. You are a gatherer. We have other gathering events too. It might be a special event. It might be something, kind of an event, an awareness, or a party kind of thing. But it's usually larger gatherings that you can come to. The problem is some of you stop there. You've got a three-legged stool, but you got one leg. So it's not real sturdy, is it? So the man that built this stool for me, he emailed me this morning and said, "Don't sit on that, and certainly don't stand on that." So it's not really sturdy. So if you're just doing one thing, if you're just gathering with us on Sunday morning for an hour, I want to encourage you, go the next step. And that would be called growing your lives. And we do that primarily through Bible study. When people say, "Do you have small groups? Do you have this? Do you have that?" We say, "You know what? If you want to get plugged in into ministry and relationships and walk through life with people, we have life Bible study for every age, from infant to senior adult." And so be a part of that. Be a part of Wednesday night, but be in a place where people know your name and you can do ministry together. You're ministered to, you're being encouraged, and you're learning God's word. And that's better, because there's a little bit more stability there for if you have a gathering and a growing moment with each other. But ultimately, we believe in our framework, how God has birthed in us, this DNA of us, is that everybody needs a place too to give their lives away, not just worship, and maybe attend, and maybe even critique the sermon or the music and make preferences, and then not just to go to Bible study and grow for me and to grow for that purpose, but to also have an outlet of giving. And we do that through missions. We do that through serving. We do that for volunteering. And when you do all three of those things, there's stability. You can put your full weight into that. And it's everything we believe that God has for you. And it's not to be a legalistic thing at all. It's to say, you know what, this is what we believe God has for you. In the busyness of your life, if you can find a place to gather, a place of growing, and a place of giving, that God would do a great thing. So we want to encourage you moving forward. I would encourage you, as we move forward the next year, step into that next leg, if you will. Take a risk. And be intentional about it and do that. Here's what I want to lay out to you as far as where we're going. I've shared a lot of stats with you of where we've been and what God is doing and He's done, and that's really exciting. But I'm even more excited about the future. And here's just a few things. They're not really specific, but there are a few things I want to throw out to you this morning. In the next year, in our future, as we gather, grow, and give, this is what I desire and what I'm laying before the Lord. I'm saying, God, would you please make us a place where people are known and they're loved and they're wanted? When people in our community, they hear Houston's First Baptist, they'll know that they're known and they're loved and they're wanted. I want us to grow broader and deeper, not just deeper. Let's not wholly huddle together and let's learn, and then not have an outlet to grow. We've got 600 seats in the service, and both services we could fill up, and I'm asking the Lord to do that, and then I'm asking you to invite people, not Lord do that, and I'm going to sit here in the same seat I've always sat in, but I'll commit to invite someone and build a relationship to reach a new person for Christ. I want us to adopt an underserved school. We've got Wells and we've got Bridgeland High School. We know that's a socioeconomic level. I think it'd be bad stewardship not to adopt them, but we also need to adopt other schools that are underserved, people that aren't going to come to our church necessarily, but we want to reach out and be the hands and feet of Christ. And so in the next year, I want us to do that. I want to encourage you that everyone would have a place of service. When we were in the school, 70% of the people who attended served on a ministry team. 70%. We're way off that now, partly because we're skewed because we've grown so much. but we haven't plugged people into service and volunteering at the same rate that we've been growing. So be a part of that 70%, even more. Everyone has a place to serve. Last year, we gave 100 backpacks away to kids for school. I want us to give 500 backpacks. There's no reason that we can give 2,000 backpacks away to kids who need those for school. I want us to grow. I want to challenge you to grow in your generosity. Not just give some token something, but to faithfully pray together and say, God, what is it that you want us to give and step into generosity and be a part of this church this year? And then last year on this day, if you remember, I had everyone stand, and we looked four different directions. We looked north, west, east, and south, and we prayed. I encourage you to pray for the people that live in those directions. And so I want us to continue to pray and do those things, but I want God to grow in our heart and our passion for the lost in those directions. Not just that we'd reach people because they're here, but to reach people who don't know Christ. Folks, my goal is not to be a mega church, but a church who has a mega impact because we have a mega God. There's no reason that we shouldn't have impact for our community. So here's how we're going to conclude. His plan hasn't changed, and I'm amazed at verse 5, that he who began a good work in me when I was 5 years old, I can look back and say, you know what, I'm not 5 anymore, but Lord, hopefully you fanned into flame those gifts, you fanned into flame those characteristics, and I've become a man. And I'm calling us today to look to the future, and then let's be mature. All those things that God has put in us, in our framework, let's let him continue to work a good work until his completion. Because he's been faithful and he's developed and he wants to use us for his glory. Will you join in the partnership? That's the question. And the two partnerships this morning are, do you know Christ? That's the first one. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the greatest day, can be the greatest day for you to begin a relationship with him, the God who knows you and wants to know you and walk with you. The second is, will you press in and say, I want to partner with the church. I want to be a part of what's God's going on at this place. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray in just a second. We're going to have this wonderful confetti time. And the first service we did, we had a guy that came down and joined, made a profession of faith. The older men's barbecue that met last Wednesday, they were studying the Bible, and it was his first day at work, to work at the barbecue place. First day. He said, I didn't even know the menu. And I was sitting there having a snack, and I looked over these men, and they were studying something, and I overheard them. And so they reached out, and he said, how do I know what you know God? And they prayed with him, and he received Christ, and he was here today to join and be baptized. That's pretty amazing. So if you want to know Christ, we're going to stand up, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to count to three, and we're going to do these, which will be amazing. Let me teach you how. You go like this, or you go like this. Don't just let it dribble, okay? Confetti doesn't dribble. But if you want to know Christ today, after we do that, you come down. We'd love to greet you and pray with you. Our staff will be here. If you want to join the church, you want to say, this is the day, this is the part I want to be a part of, then come do that. We'll be down here. We'll rejoice with you as well. And we'll wrap up. We're going to commission our kids for camp. I know it's late, but we only have a one-year anniversary one time, okay? So let's sing. Let me pray first, and then we'll continue on. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come together. God, we glorify you in all that we do, our lives, Lord, our souls, our passions, everything. May they be pleasing to you. Thank you for all you've done, and may it just be a glance, Lord, just a glance at what you have for us in the future. We pray this, Lord, in the strong name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen.